ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। श्रीमद् भागवतम टेंथ कैंटो चैप्टर 52 रुक्मिणीज मैसेज टू कृष्णा टेक्स्ट 1 श्री शुक उवाच इत्थम सा अनुग्रहितो अंगा कृष्णेनेक्षाकु नन्दनः तं परिक्रम्य संयम्य निश्चक्राम गुहा मुखात्। श्री शुक उवाच इत्थं सोनुग्रहितोऽङ्गो कृष्णेनेक्षाकुनन्दन तं परिक्रम्य संयम्य निश्चक्राम गुहामुखा इत्थं सोऽनुग्रहितोऽङ्ग कृष्णेनेक्षाकुनन्दन तं परिक्रम्य संयम्य निश्चक्राम गुहामुखा। शुक उवाच श्री सुखदेव गोस्वामी से इत्थम इन दिस मैनर सह ही अनुग्रहितः शोइंग मर्सी अंग माय डियर परीक्षित महाराज कृष्णेन by Lord Krishna Ikshakunandanah Muchukanda the beloved descendant of Ikshaku Tam him Parikrama circumambulating Sanyamya bowing down Nishchakrama he went out Guha of the cave mukhat from the mouth translation by his divine devotees of Srila Prabhupada Sukadev Goswami said my dear king thus graced by Lord Krishna Muchukanda circumambulated him and bowed down to him then Muchukunda the beloved descendant of Ikshaku exited through the mouth of the cave. Please repeat after me. Sukadev Goswami said,
"My dear King,
thus graced by Lord Krishna,
Muchukunda
circumambulated him and bowed down to him. Then Muchukunda,
the beloved descendant of Ikshaku,
exited through the mouth of the cave." This verse doesn't have any purport, so I'll go on to the next one. Shambiksha kshullakan martan poshun virudhanaspatin matyakoli yugam praptam jagama dishamuttaram. Seeing that the size of all the human beings, animals, trees and plants was severely reduced, and thus realizing that the age of Kali was at hand, Muchukunda left for the north. Purport by the devotees of Srila Prabhupada. There are several significant words in this verse. A standard Sanskrit dictionary gives the following English meanings for the word kshullaka: little, small, low, vile, poor, indigent, wicked, malicious, abandoned, hard, pained, distressed. These are the symptoms of the age of Kali. And all these qualities are said here to apply to men, animals, plants and trees in this age. We who are enamored of ourselves and our environment can perhaps imagine the superior beauty and living conditions available to people in former ages. The last line of this text, Jagama Dishamuttaram, he went towards the north, can be understood as follows. By travelling north in India, one comes to the world's highest mountains, the Himalayan range. There one can still find many beautiful peaks and valleys, where there are quiet hermitages suitable for austerity and meditation. Thus, in Vedic culture, going to the north indicated renouncing the comforts of ordinary society and going to the Himalayan mountains to practice serious austerities for spiritual advancement. So, these two verses are more or less the continuity of the previous chapter. In the previous chapter, the Muchukunda's episode has been described. Muchukunda, the son of Mandhata, the descendant in the Ikshaku dynasty. Ikshaku dynasty has been described in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna himself. In the beginning of the fourth chapter, Krishna described that this knowledge of Karma Yoga he imparted unto Sun God Vivashvan. Imam Vivashate Yogam Praktavan Aham Abhayam. I spoke this infallible knowledge, inexhaustible knowledge to Vivashvan. And then Vivashvan gave it to his son Manu. Vivashvan Manave Praho. Praho means said, imparted this knowledge to Manu. Which Manu? There are 14 Manus. This is a particular Manu. This is Vaivashyata Manu. Manu, who is the son of Vivashvan. And Manur Ikshako Vyabravit. And then Manu spoke this knowledge, Abravit, spoke to Ikshaku, his son. Ikshaku is the son of Manu. So this dynasty of Lord Ramchandra is known as Ikshaku dynasty. And here also, Muchukunda had been described as Ikshaku Nandana, the descendant of Ikshaku. So these are all factual narrations. From this we can see that Srimad Bhagavatam and other Vedic scriptures are not fairy tales, or as they are considered nowadays, even in India, people call them mythology, mythology. Mythology, the word mythology is coming from the word myth. What does myth mean? Myth means stories, fairy tales. So this is how we can see that how in this age the whole concept has become misconstrued and degenerated. The absolute truth has become a mythology, and fairy tales have become reality. This is the unfortunate state of affairs in the age of Kali. In this age, people think that Superman, Spider-Man, Batman, these are real personalities. And Ramchandra, Arjun, Bhishma Dev, all these personalities are some fairy tales. But how can fairy tales have such distinct description of their lineage, starting all the way from Vivashvan, the sun god, from sun god to Manu, Manu to Ikshvaku, and the whole line is there. And not only Ikshvaku, but the whole chronological description of their lineage is there, recorded in the scriptures. And here we are seeing, like, although Muchukunda was long time ago, but here we are getting the description in Dwapar Yuga. Muchukunda was before Lord Ramchandra. Ramchandra appeared in the Treta Yuga. Muchukunda was long before Lord Ramchandra. But from Treta Yuga, before Treta Yuga, he continued to live. How he was living, he was sleeping. He just wanted to sleep. And he slept for so long. Treta Yuga went by, Dwapar Yuga came to practically to its end. And when Muchukunda came out of the cave, he found that all the living entities have become so small. Like, with the time, the duration of life decreases. With the passing of time, the duration decreases and the size also decreases. 10 times. What is 6 feet today? People, see, what is 6 feet today? It used to be 60 feet in Dwapar Yuga. It was 600 feet in Treta Yuga. It was 6,000 feet in Satya Yuga. I mean, 10 times it is diminishing. Their longevity, their lifespan also is decreasing in this way. With the passing of time, everything is becoming smaller. And the lifespan also is reducing. In this age, what is the normal longevity? 100 years. In Dwapar Yuga, it was 1,000 years. In Treta Yuga, it was 10,000 years. And in Satya Yuga, it was 100,000 years. 100,000 years is days to live. Now, yeah, is it fairy tale? Is it some kind of concocted concepts? Now let us see, in this world everything is relative. What's the big deal about 100,000 years? Like, consider an ant. If you tell an ant that the human beings live for 100 years, what will the ant say? 100 years? When an ant's life, duration of life may be just a few days, the ant will say, how is it possible? How is it possible? How can one live for 100 years? Because the ant's lifespan, just here, lifespan means birth, childhood, youth, old age. 3 phases. Childhood, youth, and old age. One is in childhood to he grows to become gradually. He grows to become youthful. And his youth lasts for so many years. And then when the youth is gone, then gradually he becomes old. and then finally he dies. Now every span like goes on, every species goes through this way, like different phases. But then he grows to reaches the peak of his youth, and then there's a decline, and then he dwindles. So now the real thing is that different species of life has different longevity, span of longevity. Now some may live for just 1 second. There are some creatures, they live probably just 1 second. And within 1 second, that creature is going through all that, different phases. He's born, then he grows up, he reaches the height of his youth, and then he becomes old, and then he dies. Maybe not 1 second, but few seconds. Then there are living entities who live for maybe just a few minutes. Some living entities live for just a few hours. Some living entities live for a few days. Some living entities live for a few months. Some living entities live for a few years. And some living entities live for hundreds of years. And the duration of Brahma's life? 4,320,000,000 years. That's the lifespan of Brahma's life. So this is how, not actually that, it's double of that. That's the span, Brahma's daytime constitutes that. Now day plus night multiplied by 2 is the lifespan of Brahma. One day of Brahma, what is one day of Brahma? 4,320,000,000 years. 1 billion. It blows our mind. We can't even measure, can't even imagine what is 4 billion years. We can measure up to 40 years, maybe at the most 400 years, 4,000 years. But 4 million, 4 billion, 4 zillion, 4 trillion, it's actually, we cannot really conceive of what it is. How can one live for so long? So, in this material nature, there are different species of life, and accordingly they have different span of life. And that also varies at different times. Satya Yuga, the longevity is longer. Why the longevity is longer? Because they are so spiritually pure. Spiritually they are so pure that they are not affected by the material contamination of the material nature. The purer we become, the longevity actually increases, generally. And when you become absolutely pure, then what happens? We live forever. The spirit soul, when you are situated in a spiritual identity, then what will happen? Then we'll get eternal life. Eternal life means? Eternal life means? Non-ending. Endless. It cannot be measured by mathematical calculations. It cannot be measured by numbers. What is eternity? Eternity is actually infinity. What is the definition of infinity? You add any number, subtract any number, multiply that by any number, it remains the same. Infinity multiplied by 25, how much? Infinity. Infinity divided by 25? Infinity divided by 25,000? Infinity. What does it mean? Actually, in mathematics, although they use this expression, they do not know what it means. But the real understanding is that when you transcend the material platform, you come to another direction, another dimension, which cannot be measured by any material calculation. Like if you take away eternity, now 25 million years out of eternity, what is left? Infinity, eternity minus 25 million years? Eternity. Eternal means nothing is, it's not, nothing can be subtracted from him, not from it, and nothing can be added into it. So that is the spiritual reality, another dimension altogether, and it cannot be measured, it cannot be described by any material definition. And that is the spiritual reality. Therefore, there is no, the Vedic scholars and the acharyas, they say don't get into arguments. Don't get into arguments about it. Achinto kholu jay bhava, natang starkena jojayet. The thing that is achinto, inconceivable, we cannot argue about that. Either you accept it or don't accept it, it's up to you. There is no need to argue because prakritibha parejastu tad achintasya lakkhana. That is beyond this material nature, that is achinta. So that is beyond material nature, how can it be described by material means? It cannot be described by material means. In English there is an expression, really, that comes very close to this concept. What is the square root of a sonnet? Sonnet is a poetry, is a meter of a poetry. Now can you describe this poetry, can you describe a poetry through mathematical measurements? What is the square root of a sonnet? So they're two different dimensions. So therefore they don't relate to each other. So spiritual reality is beyond material nature. Prakritibhya pari. It's beyond material nature. Therefore don't try to describe it and define it by material means. So the way is, the process is, or the means to approach that reality is just by accepting the authority. Just accept the authority. Don't question. Yeah, question. If you have doubts, question. But those questions should be sincere questions. Pariprashna. Not challenging prashna. Pariprashna, sincere inquiry. And we are seeing that all the scriptures are based on actually questions and answers. Here we are seeing there are questions and answers. Parikshit Maharaj is asking and Sukadeva Goswami is answering. Shaunaka Rishi is questioning, Suta Goswami is answering. Vidura is questioning, Maitreya Rishi is answering. Vidura is questioning, Uddhava is answering. Arjuna is questioning, Krishna is answering. So the student asks sincere questions and the authority, the acharya, the teacher gives the answer. And the approach, how the process is, how do we approach the teacher? Pranipatena. Pranipatena means bowing down. Bowing down means what? The head is given up. This intellect, mind, all that is surrender. It's the heart. When you bow down, the head is down. So the head, the troublemaker, the seat of the mind, the seat of the mind is rejected here. So no more mental speculation, no more intellectual calculations. Just accept And if you have questions, yes, sincere questions, you ask. Prabhupada used to insist that his disciples should ask questions. Prabhupada used to be excited when devotees asked intelligent questions. Prabhupada used to probe into them in the morning walks. He used to challenge them. He used to, in order to provoke them, he used to even insult them. To kind of provoke them to ask sincere questions. And that is how the exchange, the spiritual exchange takes place. Pariprashnena and Jigyasu Shreyamuttamam. Jigyasu, inquisitive about the spiritual reality. That is the qualification of a student. And the qualification of a teacher, as Prabhupada used to say, if you have a question, I have the answer. To every relevant question, we have the perfect answer. Perfect question, perfect answer. The qualified teacher is able to give the perfect answer. Therefore, when the Vedas say things, that people used to live for so many hundreds of years or thousands of years, we should not doubt that. Because the Vedas, there's no need for the Vedas to mislead us. Vedas are meant to enlighten us. And enlightenment cannot come through falsity, lies. Enlightenment is a matter of receiving the perfect informations. And especially the perfect informations about the spiritual reality. The spiritual reality is in eternal light. Brahma Jyoti is actually that light, eternal light. The absolute reality is effulgent. And material nature is in darkness. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya. Timira means deep, dense. Andhasya, darkness. In this material nature we are in deep, dense darkness. And whereas the spiritual reality is eternally effulgent. Na tad bhashayate surya, na shashanko na pavaka. The spiritual reality has been described as there's no need for sun, moon and electricity to light up that world. What does it mean? There's no need for sun, moon and electricity or fire. It means that that region is eternally effulgent. It's an eternal light. Whereas material nature is an eternal darkness. But because the sun is there, moon is there, and fire is there, therefore there is some light here. If the sun was not there, this place would have been an eternal darkness. We wouldn't have been able to see anything. And all the other light is actually subservient to sun's light. Moon is deriving light from sun. And trees and plants actually absorb the energy of sun, which is ultimately transformed into fire. Wood burns. Why? Because the sun's energy is stored in it. And through the ignition, that energy is released. That energy that has been absorbed from the sun. And coal, petroleum, everything is actually a transformation of wood. So in this way we can see the sun is actually the origin of light in this universe. And where the sun is deriving the light from? Sun is deriving the light from Brahma Jyoti and reflecting it here. So there is some arrangement for some light to be reflected onto this material nature, otherwise this nature would have been in total darkness. But that's not the case with the spiritual reality. Therefore, when you speak about enlightenment, it is actually becoming spiritually aware. Spiritual awareness actually causes that enlightenment, light up. And how does it happen? Divya Gyan Hriday Prakashita. This transcendental light, in the form of transcendental knowledge, is revealed in the heart. And through that light, we see things in their real perspective. In a material nature, we don't see things in a proper way. This is a reflected reality. But the absolute reality is the spiritual sky. And only when we are situated in proper spiritual knowledge, then only we get to see things as they are. Okay, thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Gaur Premanande, Hare. Does anybody have any question or comments? Yes.
How can
we
feel the presence of the super soul?
How can you feel the presence of the super soul? Well, the first consideration is scripture saying that. That's what we got to know. Right? See, it's difficult to understand or difficult to perceive the super soul because the super soul is spiritual. Right? And can the spiritual object be seen with material senses? Can they be perceived by material senses? No. But our senses, our perception has become materialized. Therefore we cannot perceive the super soul. What to speak of super soul? Can we even see the presence of the soul, spirit soul? No. Why not? Because we do not have the ability to perceive the spiritual reality. But when we develop our spiritual senses, then we'll be able to perceive the spiritual objects. And the process of devotional service will qualify us. It'll purify our senses. By Rishikena Rishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Vichyate. When the Lord of the senses is served by our senses, then our senses become purified. Yes.
Also, remembrance, forgetfulness, everything come from Him.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you don't know what you were in last life. Only Krishna will remind us everything.
That's true. Very good point. Yeah. Ultimately, everything depends upon Krishna's mercy. When Krishna says see, we'll be able to see.
There will be nothing.
Without Krishna's mercy, we won't be able to perceive the spiritual reality. So all we have to do is just depend upon Krishna's mercy. And how can we depend upon Krishna's mercy? By surrender. We surrender ourselves to Him. Krishna, you decide what you want to do with me. And that is the beginning of devotional service, Sharanagati. Yes, Mataji? I just draw the analogy from the duration of their life.
Is there any reference to
that? The thing is, I don't recall exactly whether it's 10 times. I mean, that description saying 10 times larger, right? But, you know, they were considerably larger in other ages. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that analogy I just drew according to the time span. Maybe it was not that accurate. Yeah, that's true. When I was mentioning that, also it occurred to me at the back of my mind. Right, that's true, yeah.
That's
very large, yeah. Yes.
Everyone has a lifespan, even all the demigods have a lifespan.
Yeah.
But at the time of Sadhamathan, there was nectar comes out. And all the demigods drink that nectar, so they can be never die or eternal. So, why is lifespan of demigods as well? Means like Brahma and other demigods.
The lifespan?
Yes, because they drink the nectar.
You see, higher you go, the longevity increases. And when it comes to Lord Brahma and Brahma Loka, it is also actually a consideration of the duration of the planet. Duration of the universe. Right? So when the universe is dissolved, universe disintegrates, Brahma goes back to the Lord. They don't actually die. Same also with the demigods. But in the heavenly planets, their duration is a matter of going there and coming down. Like demigods don't die. In the heavenly planet there is no death. But they fall down. The Mahabharata actually describes that when one loses his right to remain in the heavenly planet, Shine punne martha lokam vishanti. When the punya, piety, is exhausted, one falls down. Right? And it has been described quite graphically that when he falls from the below the heavenly planet are the region where the rakshasas reside. And then the rakshasas catch him and eat him. And due to the pain that he experiences at that time, he sheds tears and his spirit soul comes out of and through his tears. And then the spirit soul comes onto the planet, earth planet, in the form of raindrops. And then it enters into a plant and finds its way into a grain. And then when a human being or animals eat that grain, that soul then is transmitted to his semen. And from the semen it comes into the womb of the mother. And that's how it develops a body. Like, such a complex system and such a rare opportunity to get human birth. Even for a demigod who had been residing in heaven, for him to get a human body becomes such a rare opportunity. Therefore, now that you got this opportunity, you must take full advantage of it. Yes.
in the prayers that we chant in the morning, it's described how each of the limbs of Govinda had the same function or had the same potency, and it's through that potency that he then he sees and maintains the material creation. That sort of gives an indication of an impersonal feature because he's manifest all throughout the whole of the universe. So how do his limbs maintain the material creation?
Yeah, angani jasya sakalindriya vritti manti pashyanti panti kalayanti chiram jaganti ananda chinmaya savichara vihrahasya. The way Prabhupada described it is that every limb or every sense can perform all the activities of other senses. He can eat with his eyes and, you know, smell with his ears. Like Krishna can. Like, that is his transcendental opulence. Like, he is not limited like us to the senses. So that actually takes us to the point that his activities and his presence, his form, his everything is spiritual. So it's not limited by any means. And of course that maintenance of the material world is not directly conducted by himself. The maintenance is not conducted by himself. It is conducted by his by his agents, the demigods. And the principle on which the material nature functions is guna and karma. The principle of action-reaction, karmic principle, and the modes of material nature. So he's not directly directly controlling the material nature. At the most, what he's doing is just glancing. Just his glance is making everything happen. Just one aspect of his perception is causing the entire material creation to come about. And then again, we can see the dimension of his glance. What is his glance actually? His glance has been described as Shambhu, Lord Shiva. Now, what is Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva is actually the transformation of Krishna to perform a specific mission. And what is the specific mission? This is also again from Brahma Samhita. Kshiram yatha dadhi vikara vishesha yogat. Just as milk is turned into yogurt. Now qualitatively they are different, but it's the same substance. Like it's milk that became yogurt. Now similarly, in order to perform a specific business, he transforms himself into Lord Shambhu, Lord Shiva. And that performance, that purpose, the special mission, is to deal with the material nature. Because Krishna, for Krishna, he cannot directly deal with the material nature. He cannot directly deal with his external energy. Because if he directly deals with the external energy, then it won't be external anymore, it will become internal. Right? So therefore Krishna doesn't deal with the material nature directly. So it's through the agency of Lord Shiva that he does that. He transforms himself. And what is the purpose? The purpose is, Tashang Brahma Mahajyonir Aham Bija Pradapita. That I am the seed giving father in the womb of the Brahma Mahajyoni, in the vast womb of the material nature. So it is through the agency of Lord Shiva that all the living entities are transported into the material nature. The seed-giving father, and the womb is material nature. So that business is performed through Lord Shiva. So, in a way, in order to conceive it with our limited, faculty, we are saying his glance. But consider how complex his glance is. His glance is transformed into Lord Shiva. And it is through that glance that all the living entities are projected in the womb of the material nature. All the living entities have come here through the agency of Lord Shiva. I mean, ultimately it's inconceivable how he does that. He's just glancing, but look at the reaction of his glance. Yes? Okay, a good point. Sometimes death can be a relief. Right? Not to die means, like when the pain becomes too acute, then a living entity cannot take it anymore, he loses his consciousness. But can you imagine when you don't lose your consciousness, what's going to happen? Like you'll be subjected to the pain without losing your consciousness. When the pain becomes intense, what does the doctor do? Gives morphine, right? Cuts his consciousness off, right? So that he doesn't experience the pain. So to be immortal is not really that rosy and wonderful. To be immortal can be very, very difficult. Like that has been described, Markandeya Rishi, you know, he became practically immortal. And but when the time came for the dissolution, total annihilation, the whole world, whole universe, I mean the up to certain level, was just inundated with water, flooded. And Markandeya Rishi was just, he was like rolling and turning and twisting in the water without losing his consciousness. Everything has died, only he died. And that time he felt that it would be better that he didn't have this benediction, that he wouldn't die. Then finally Surabhi actually rescued him. There was only one place that didn't get flooded. That was Navadvip. And there under the desire tree, Surabhi was there and he pulled out Markandeya Rishi. Yes?
Mara, from the same point, why flooding is so much in common? My
what?
Is so common.
What is so common?
Flood
is so common. Yeah. That is a different type of flood. That is the flood of Krishna consciousness. The Mayapur gets inundated and then the whole world gets flooded. Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. Yes. I will also address that point. It's not actually 10 times in that way. I think it's double, triple and quadruple.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's how it has been described. Yeah.
I heard you mention in Nisgar, when we hear from the Brahma Sumeru, there's the four dams. And then in between Dhurmi Dham and Vaikuntha Dham, there's Mahesh Dham.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I think I've heard you mention that Mahesh Dham, because we hear it's within the coverings of the universe.
Beyond the covering of the universe.
I thought I remember hearing you say that it was specifically because Lord Shiva is the Lord of all Siddha or Ahankara.
Yeah.
Because that is 10 times greater than everything before it. I think I remember you saying that that was his, that was Mahesh Dham, the...
No, not really. Like, what I may have said is this is the Shambhu, that Shiva or Shambhu or Mahadev in the material nature is an expansion of that Shiva who is in the, actually in the spiritual sky.
So then where do we understand Mahesh Dham?
Now, Devi Mahesha Haridham Shuteshu. The Devidham. Devidham is consisting of the 14 universes with 14 planetary systems with the 7 coverings of the universe. That's the unit, the Brahmanda. And the totality is beyond that there is Viraja river, beyond this material nature, beyond even the coverings of the universes is Viraja. Which can be described as causal ocean. And the causal ocean again is actually a transformation of Brahma Jyoti. So beyond the causal ocean is Brahma Jyoti. And beyond Brahma Jyoti is, or in Brahma Jyoti is Mahesh Dham. So to make this point clear, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the second part, when Gop Kumar is going back to the spiritual sky, like, he went through all the universes, 7 coverings. Ultimately, he comes to the covering of Maya, right? Where the Lord is worshipped in his Mohini Murti, right? But then when he went beyond that, he was in Brahma Jyoti. And in Brahma Jyoti, all this while, wherever he went, he had the Lord, he saw the Lord's presence. In some form, in some deity, the Lord was always present. But when he came to Brahma Jyoti, he couldn't see the Lord. And that situation was something like as if he was losing his consciousness and he couldn't see the Lord. Therefore, he started to offer prayer to Lord Jagannath to save him from that dangerous situation. At that region, in that region, he was just seeing the flashes of the super soul, like coming and disappearing. And so he started to pray out of his sheer fear. And then he heard the sound of Sankirtan. And then he saw a personality riding on a bull surrounded by his associate who was coming down, whose body was white as camphor. So that is Lord Shiva. So this actually indicates that Lord Shiva's situation actually is beyond Brahmajyoti. Not only beyond material nature, beyond Brahmajyoti, and then is Haridham.
So we also hear Sadashiva.
Yeah.
As his own Vaikuntha planet. Hmm. And Jamakrishna Maharaj mentioned that was at the edge of Vaikuntha.
Yeah.
So would that
yeah.
be.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so
exactly. Sadashiva Loka is just on the boundary of Vaikuntha.
No, we said that is Maheshwara, as
yeah.
Brahma's way to describe.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Thank you. Hare Krishna. I'll stop now.